Thank you for listening to the New Life Church podcast. If you need any information about our church, or if you'd like to give online, please visit us at newlifekingman.com.
But we sometimes wrestle with stuff. Sometimes if we messed up in our life, then we wonder, is the forgiveness still there? So anyway, if you weren't here last week, get the notes because it really is important. If we're going to understand all that God has for us, all of his benefits, it starts with forgiveness. And so if we don't realize or our understanding of his forgiveness is faulty, then we're never going to be able to receive all of what God has for us because we'll be hesitant in coming to him. We'll be skittish in drawing near to him. And we need not be skittish, right? Tell yourself, don't be skittish. Come into God. Okay, so tonight we're going to look at the second benefit listed in Psalm 103. After forgiveness, God promises his healing. In Psalm 103, verse 1 through 3, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases." So an important part, a vital part of God's benefit package to us is healing. God, when he first started dealing with me about praying for the sick, I was in my first church in Winslow back in 1979, and I was kind of hesitant about it, not because I didn't believe God healed, because I'd seen evidence of it in the mother church, and I had prayed for people before, but it's a different thing when you're a pastor, a young pastor, getting started, and you're just, you know, you're learning things, and I was learning things, but I realized I needed to, I believed that God was a healer, and if he was, then as a pastor, I ought to pray for people, right? I think that's probably a good thing. And so that's what I thought. And so the first night, I think one of the first times that I did that, I was praying for people, and I did it the way I'd seen my pastor do it in a crusade in Mexico, and just had people pray for themselves. You know, I prayed from the pulpit and then prayed over them, having them lay their hands over the area if they could do it discreetly, and pray for themselves, if not discreetly, then just on their heads, and pray for themselves and call out their need before God. And I really did sense and feel, you know, that God had moved and done something. So I asked for a testimony. I said, anybody that you know, you already know that and have the evidence in your body that you've been healed, and nobody raised their hand. And I, you know, there was one guy I can remember that was kind of smirking because I could tell he's skeptical. But I told them, I says, you know, you may not have the evidence in your body right now. You may have to go check yourself or whatever, or it may be several days later you find out that the symptoms and all have gone. And so anyway, so we all went out to coffee afterwards, and we're sitting at Denny's, around a lot of us at a big round table in Denny's, and this young lady in our church, she's probably, I think she was at that time, maybe still in high school, but like a senior or something. Anyway, she comes running up so excited, and she goes, "Pastor, Pastor," and everybody's looking, and she goes, "Look," and she throws her shoulders back like that. And I go, "Yeah, okay," you know, and she goes, "Oh, no, no." She says, "You don't understand." She was so excited. She says, "You don't understand. I couldn't draw my shoulders back like that before." She said, "I had scoliosis, my spine, curvature of the spine." And she said, "I had never noticed it," but she had said she'd always had a slight limp. One leg was shorter than the other one because of the spine. And she said, "I am healed. I'm able to do things I couldn't do before. My leg, I don't have that limp." And she says, I'm healed. And so the reason that happened wasn't because I have a gift of healing. It's because healing is a part of God's benefit package for everyone who has given their lives to Christ. And we've just got to believe it. So this is what he's talking about. The psalmist is saying, forget not all his benefits. And there's a reason this is written, and that's because we, you and I, have the tendency to forget, especially when we're sick. We can have the tendency to forget that healing is part of the package. I know that you are like me. It's easy for me to believe that God's a healer when I feel great. I mean, of course he is, obviously. It is another thing to struggle through when you're dealing with some symptoms or you've had a diagnosis and things and you're dealing with a health issue. So the greatest challenge for us when we are dealing with a health issue is to remember healing is part of the package. And I want to just encourage all of us to continue to believe until we see the evidence of it, and no matter how long that may be. And so sickness is more than an attack against us physically. When we are attacked physically, we're also attacked emotionally. And I think I've left it in your notes. Depression and sickness are like kissing cousins. The emotional trauma that goes along with the physical thing that we're dealing with can be almost as damaging. You know, we may feel like, you know, somehow we've failed God, or we may feel like that God has failed us, and neither one of those is God never fails us. We may fail him, but if we fail him, it's not like he's going to throw sickness on us to teach us a lesson. That's false doctrine. That's right. And if we've heard that taught, I'm telling you tonight, it's not true. God is not, he is a loving father. He is not an abusive dad. He doesn't teach us things. And I understand that that there's a lot of teaching that goes like this, and I'm not, there's a lot of good people, sincere pastors and teachers who teach that, and believers that think that God teaches us lessons through by giving us sickness, and it's not biblical. It's not. So just, it's not. Forget not all his benefits, who heals all your diseases. We're told to remember this, and we're encouraged not to forget. We should never forget. It is God's will to heal us. It's part of the package. So I want you to tell yourself, God's got a great health plan.
God has a great health plan.
He does. Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5 says, surely, surely. You get that?
Yes.
It's a sure thing. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Strong's Hebrew Dictionary translates this word griefs from the original Hebrew that it was written in as sickness and disease. So literally what this verse means, surely he has borne our sickness and disease. Matthew is quoting Isaiah in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 17 and says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. This portion of scripture, this promise that was prophetic about Jesus in Isaiah 53, is so important that it's repeated again in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed.
That's right.
And so when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for all of our benefits. And healing is part of the package. You know, insurance companies, I'll get into that in a minute. Never mind. I'm getting there. I'm jumping ahead. I shouldn't do that. Get so excited sometimes, but wait till you hear this. Years ago, it's been a while now, but some years ago, I was preaching a meeting in Denver, Colorado, and a lady introduced herself to me after the service, and she said, "I'm sure you probably don't remember me," but she said, "Some years before this, I had brought my son to the service, and he had just been diagnosed with a brain tumor." And she says, "You prayed, we prayed, and we went back to the doctor, and that brain tumor was gone." Amen. You know why? Because healing is part of the package. It's God's will to heal us. Jesus did not bear our sicknesses in order to let us keep them. It's God's will to heal. One of the most quoted portions of Scripture about this, I use it every time I talk about it's God's will to heal because it's so emphatic. Mark chapter 1, verse... I didn't put 1 Peter up there, did I?
Yes, you did.
Did I? Good. See? Of course I did. Obviously. Mark chapter 1, verse 40 and 41, this leper comes to Jesus, came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus was moved with compassion, put his hand out, touched him, and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." And so what Jesus spoke to this leper wasn't for him alone. We need to be able to hear him tell us, "I am willing." This portion of Scripture in the Message Bible reads this way: "If you want to, you can cleanse me." Deeply moved, Jesus put out his hand. Isn't he good? He's so good. Put out his hand, touched him. Nobody else would touch him. He couldn't get around people, but he touched him and said, I want to. God help us to hear his "I want to." And this is a real struggle with us, especially when we're dealing with a health issue. We've got to be able to hear God's voice, "I want to," above the devil saying, "This, it's all over, it's hopeless," or all the negativity in our own minds that can assault us. We've got to stand somewhere, and that stand has got to be on the Word of God. God is not apathetic towards our sickness. He carried them on himself. And so it is God's will to heal. Tell yourself, it is God's will. 3 John and verse 2 says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." So we need to pray in the will of God, don't we?
That's right.
And so 3 John 2 tells us what God's will is, that we prosper in all things and be in the health just as our soul prospers. And so we need to be able to pray this. We ought to be able to pray this way, that I may be in health. See, even if we're not dealing with a health issue, we ought to confess it. That I am in the health because it's the will of God. Luke chapter 11, verse 2 says, "So he said," Jesus said to him, when you pray, say, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Right? So what he says, when you pray, pray the will of God in. On earth as it is in heaven. When we pray for healing, we are praying his will in heaven on earth. We can be confident of that. It is his will to heal. So, Roman numeral 2. This healing benefit is all inclusive. So here, health health policies carry clauses, don't they? There are areas they may say that are not covered, or because of pre-existing conditions, or there may be limitations on coverage. God's benefit of healing has no limitations. Who heals all your diseases? So I want you to say this with me. Who heals all my diseases? It's all inclusive. So from a toothache to cancer, from a headache to a brain tumor, no matter what it is, God's healing is all inclusive. Matthew chapter 4, verse 24 says, "Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them." Matthew chapter 9, remember, it's all inclusive. Matthew 9, 35, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." That's encouraging, isn't it? Every. I like those words, every and all, don't you? Jesus never ran up against a sickness that he couldn't or wouldn't heal. Healing is all inclusive. One of the most dramatic miracles that I have been, I didn't witness it, but I knew the guy that got healed. It happened to a friend of mine that was years ago in Colorado Springs, Colorado. This guy's name, he was a pastor, evangelist, and his name was Art Goddard, and he was pioneering a church in Longmont, Colorado, and one day he was working on a light fixture and had some of the guys in the church helping him, but he's standing up on a ladder, and he got a hold of a live wire, and he is being electrocuted, and so one of the guys that's there with him sees what's happening, didn't just thought the best thing was to break that hold, and so he kicked the ladder out from under him, you know, and he got released, probably saved his life, but in the process, he messed his spine up horrendously, and I'm not talking about just a couple of discs, you know, but he was put in a wheelchair, couldn't walk, and was for several months just in agonizing pain, and couldn't do anything. The doctors finally told him the only thing that they could do would be to sever his spinal cord below his neck, and then to release him from all that pain. There wasn't anything they could, wasn't any hope for him besides that. And they had scheduled his surgery. So Art was a good guy, but he got really angry. He became embittered, and he's wondering, you know, God, why don't you do something? And so just not too long before the surgery, he went out, and I think it was a Wednesday night service, either Sunday night or Wednesday night service. Surgery was scheduled already. He's going to have his spinal cord disconnected. Goes to this church in Colorado Springs. A friend of his was pastoring, big church. He goes in his wheelchair. He's all the way in the back of the church, and there's a, you know, sloping floor and all that. It was had been a theater that had been converted. And so he's all the way in the back, and through the service, the preaching, through the song service, everything, he's just mad. And he's thinking, why am I like this? I'm just trying to do a work for God. All the mental stuff that's going on, and he's mad. And so at the closing of the service, they're closing out. Everybody's got their hands lifted. They're worshiping God, praising God. He is in the back of the church with his eyes closed, and then he hears someone behind him say, "You can sit in that wheelchair, or you can get up and walk." Well, now he got even madder. And he thought, who would be so calloused to say that when they knew he couldn't? And he looks around to see who did it, and there wasn't anybody there. It was God. Man, this is crazy, I'm telling you. And so he thought, well, and so Art, you have to know this guy. He's a classic guy. He's really aggressive. And so he says, well, he says, so God told me to, and even if I fall flat on my face, I may as well go out in a blaze of glory. And so he wasn't able to walk, but he pushes himself up out of the wheelchair, stands, goes around behind, and he walks. And so everybody else in the church, they've got their eyes shut, they're worshiping, praising God and all. He pushes the wheelchair all the way down the aisle to the front of the church, and he's to get the attention of the pastor, his friend. And as he gets just before the platform, one of the women in the church looks over, and she, you know, everybody knew what was going on. They've been praying for him. She opens her eyes, looks over, and sees him pushing his wheelchair, walking, and she screams. Screams. And so the pastor opens his eyes, and he looks down, and he sees Art standing in front of him, and he goes, Art, what are you doing? And he says, I'm walking, and I'm healed. Outstanding miracle. He did not have to have the surgery, and he went on just not too long after that to be a missionary in Liberia, Africa. You know why? Because healing is part of the package. Okay, so there's two things we shouldn't forget. Remember, he says, forget not all his benefits. Two things in this that we need to remember. First of all, we are meant to be healed. It is his will and his desire, and you and I should not let sickness stay on us or be in us or on us without a fight. And so you wonder, so how do I fight it? Now I'm going to give three things just as we, in just a little bit, how to fight. Because it can be, I know this in my own life, and I've battled things, and so it is a fight. But we can fight. We got the weapons to win. So we're going to talk about it in just a minute. We're meant to be healed, first of all. Then secondly, we are meant to be healers. And when I say that, I know that people, sometimes people will freak out. Well, you're not a healer. I'm not saying it's us in our own ability or power or might. It's not that. But we are meant to minister his healing power to others. Matthew 10, 7 and 8, Jesus told them, his disciples, go and preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What happens when the kingdom of heaven is at hand? Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. So church leaders are meant to minister healing. James 5 and verse 14, is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. That's pretty clear, isn't it? But it is not only church leaders who are meant to minister healing. In Mark 16, verse 17 and 18, Jesus said, and I've cut out some of this just for space, but these signs shall follow them those who believe. One of those signs is they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Amen. Those who believe. Healing is meant to be brought. Any one of us that's a believer in Jesus Christ can pray for people and believe that God will bring healing. It's been almost 30 years ago. It has been. It's been over 30 years ago. I was pastoring in Chinle on the Navajo Reservation, and my son was in first grade, and the classroom was unruly. There was some kids that were really unruly. One day in his class, a boy stabbed a little girl in the eye with his pencil. It's horrible. They took her to the hospital. They transferred her to Albuquerque. They told the parents she's probably never going to be able to see out of this eye. they did all what they could do and patched it over. And they told her to come back in several days to make sure there wasn't any infection. They took her home. We in our church, just as a church, she didn't come. She didn't come to the church. Her parents didn't bring her to church. We knew, because my son was in the class, we knew about this. Everybody in the community, small community, knew about it. And so as a church, we prayed for that little girl. And several days later, they took her to Albuquerque, and they peeled back that bandage, that eye covering, and that eye was completely healed. There wasn't a sign of the injury that had been done. God had miraculous. That's awesome. Man, it's wonderful. Because healing is part of the package. In 2 Corinthians, so we're talking about fighting it and battling it. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds." So there are three weapons that we can use to attack sickness. These are important for us to know, vital for us to know. The first is His stripes. Talked about this, used this earlier, but I'm going to read it again. Surely He has borne, again, surely, say surely. Surely. Not surely, surely, surely. He has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed Him stricken by God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. Yes. 1 Peter 2:24, we read it before, I want to read it again. Who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Yes. Isaiah says you are healed. 1 Peter was written after Jesus had borne those stripes and after His resurrection. And He says, by whose stripes you were healed. Yes. So we are and we were, right? We need to contend for the benefit He paid for by His stripes. When we're praying for ourselves or praying for others, we should call attention to these verses. Amen. And I think I left the example in your notes. Lord, thank You for paying the price for our healing. By Your stripes, we are healed. We were healed. Okay? So first of all, His stripes. Second weapon that we can use against sickness is His name. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and, I said James, is it James or was it John? I think it was Peter and John. Anyway, one of those guys was with Peter. I think it was actually John. That's a typo. Anyway, Peter and John, I think, were on their way to a prayer meeting. You read it in Acts chapter 3, and you can figure out who it was. It was Peter that spoke. A lame man was there from birth and was begging. And in Acts chapter 3, verse 6, then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he did. So he gets up, jumps up, runs through, and is in the temple. They're holding on to Peter because he's liking this stuff. You know, he's walking. And so a crowd is gathered. And they're going, "Man, what in the world happened?" Peter tells them it wasn't by our own power. And then in Acts 3, verse 16, he clarifies and says, "And His name," Jesus' name, "through faith in His name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through Him has given Him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Wonderful. One of the greatest weapons we have against sickness is His name. There's power in a name. One of my favorite stories over the years has been this one I'm going to tell you. When I went to Malawi, before I went to Malawi as a missionary in Africa, I had two people give me the same word, worded a little bit different, but the message was God was going to give me favor with a government official in Malawi. One of those was Pastor Poole. He had given me that word, and somebody else, a pastor back in Alabama, same thing. God's going to give you favor with a government official. I went to Malawi. We rented a house in Blantyre, and the house just happened to be owned. It had been built for the purpose of a government official's retirement later, and so he was renting it out. Nobody had lived in it yet. We got to rent it for $500 a month. Nice house, nice property and area. And the man's name was Martin Mononga. He was the principal secretary for the Department of Energy and Mining. Now, it was a high post, high position in government. And so I went down to the phone company and I wanted to fill out an application for a telephone. And the guy looked at me and he started laughing. Didn't think it was funny at all. He said, I have a stack like this of applications of people who have applied for a telephone. And he says, it's impossible. And so I thought, well, it's, and you laugh. I just didn't think, I didn't see the humor in it myself. I needed a phone. You know, this is back before all the stuff that we've gotten, you know, and I didn't have a cell phone. We needed a landline. I had to have it. Got to have it. Wanted. Needed it. Protection. All that. And so I go back to my house, and I guess I went to the agent, the real estate agent, and called. I called Martin Mononga, the principal secretary for the Department of Energy, and I explained to him and said, you know, we've rented this house, but I can't get a phone. They said it's impossible. And he says, give it a day. He said, go back in and talk to him. And so I did. Next time I went in, I said, I'm here to talk about this phone. And they were falling over themselves to help me. I got a phone like that. I'm telling you. Martin Mononga, there's power in the name of Mononga. And so then we had a problem. It's 240 volt electricity there and throughout the house over there. And I had shipped in a 240 volt refrigerator with us to use because it would be cheaper to have it shipped in, so it did. Had the refrigerator plug, but I noticed it just wasn't seeming to perform well. I got a volt meter, and it was only putting out like 110. That's not good when it's supposed to be 240. And so, anyway, and our lights, you know, all that. So Martin Mononga, principal secretary for the Department of Energy and Mining. So I called up Mr. Mononga. I said, hey, you know, we got a problem with our electricity. These guys with the power company were there putting, and I don't know electricity, but phase three, and I guess that was good. Anyway, we didn't have a problem with the power. Power would go out sometimes. We would get, I'd call them, you know. It's good. There's power in the name of Mononga in Malawi at that time. Can I tell you something tonight? There's power in the name of Jesus. It's power in the name of Jesus. His name is above every other name that is named. It's above every sickness, every disease. When you speak certain diseases, those names carry a power. The power to bring fear, hopelessness, despair, depression. The name of Jesus is over every other name. Every sickness, the name of every sickness, name of Jesus is above. Amen. Isn't that right? That's right. Philippians 2, 9 and 10 says, therefore God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Say every name. Every name. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and of those in heaven and on those on earth and of those under the earth. Jesus' name is above every other name. Every name of sickness, heart disease, headaches, cancer, whatever it is. And we should use his name against sickness when we pray. I put this sickness, this headache, this heart issue, this congestion, whatever it is, under the mighty name of Jesus. And Jesus' name is over this headache. It's over whatever sickness or infirmity it is, because his name is above every name. Exodus 15, verse 26 says, and said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, do what is right. And remember, this is old covenant. What is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, keep all the statutes. I will put none of these diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Old covenant, that was old covenant. New covenant is so much better, Hebrews tells us. But in this verse of scripture, he gives us, we are given one of the names of God, and it is Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah, or the Lord who heals, the Lord who heals. Listen, this is really important. Healing isn't just what he does, it's who he is. Yeah. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals, it's who he is. Amen. He is healer.
Amen.
I like that. All right, so the third weapon against sickness is his word. Psalm 107, verse 19 through 21 says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of all their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let's do that right now. Let's just thank him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for it. We believe you. Trust you. God's word is one of the most powerful weapons against sickness. In Proverbs 4, verse 20 through 22, it says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. The word that's used here, health, in verse 22 in the original Hebrew can be translated medicine. Medicine. They are life. The word is medicine to all their flesh. A lot of you, or some of you, have heard of Derek Prince. He was a tremendous man of God and teacher of the Word of God, just a powerful example, and ministered in deliverance and healing. When he was a young believer, he had an incurable skin condition. It would just it was tormenting. And when he read these verses in Proverbs 4, he began to take them like medicine. Three times a day. So he'd pray, Lord, you promised that these words of yours will be medicine to all my flesh. I'm taking them as medicine now in the name of Jesus. He's just a young believer doing this. He got, this was when he was in the military. He got posted, the British Army or something, into the Sudan in Africa. And it's not known for its pleasant climate. It's known for heat, and the heat would aggravate the skin condition. And so he was there, and after three months, he discovered that his medicine, God's medicine, had made good on its claims. It took there was a process of him battling it through and continuing to confess it and believe, and he was perfectly well, and there was no more sickness, and that skin condition was completely healed because he sent his word and healed us. God's word has been given us for more than our instruction. We need to be in the word of God, don't we? It is given for our instruction to help us grow and to learn, but it is also given for our healing, and we should pray according to His word. So what I've done here is I've listed some examples of how we can pray and some scripture references, okay? One is, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus, 1 Peter 2:24, Isaiah 53, verse 5. I cried to the Lord, and He saved me from all my trouble and distress. He sent His word and healed me and delivered me from my disease. My faith in Him makes me whole. This is based out of Psalm 107, 19 through 20, and Luke 17, verse 19. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all His benefits, who forgives all my iniquities and heals all my diseases. Psalm 103, 2 and 3. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has healed my sickness and disease. What He did then, He does today, right? Amen. Hebrews 13, verse 8, Matthew 4, 23. I say to this mountain of sickness, be removed from my body. I don't doubt in my heart, but believe that this will come to pass. I will have what I say in Jesus' name. I believe that I receive health in my body. Mark chapter 11, verse 23 and 24. Okay, now we're going to close in prayer. I want to lead you in a prayer, and now I'm going to pray over you. So we're going to pray together this prayer and confession. I know that there are those here that you're wrestling with some things in your body. I'm going to ask you to do just what I did in that service eons ago and have you pray for yourself as I pray for you after we've prayed this together. If you can put your hand over the part of your body that discreetly and pray for it, or if it's just a whole bunch of things, just put your hand on your head as we pray. But I want you to pray for yourself, call out your need, and receive from Jesus tonight. Amen? Amen? Let's pray together. I want you to just read this with me, and then we'll pray together. Father, I thank You for making a way for me to be healed. I believe that by the stripes Jesus bore, I am healed. The name of Jesus is above the sickness, pain, or health issue I have. You sent Your word and healed me. I thank You for Your word that proclaims my healing. And I confess it now. In Jesus' name, I am healed. Now, if you just pray for yourself, and if you have nothing going on in your body, just pray for those that are around you. Let's lift our voices up and pray. Call it out specifically. And you don't have to do it where people around you can hear if it's embarrassing or whatever. Just pray for yourself right now as we pray. Jesus, thank You that by Your stripes we are healed. We are healed. Thank You for it. Thank You for the release of healing now. And we take authority and dominion over all sickness. You sent Your word and healed us. Healed us from all of our diseases. Lord, thank You tonight for releasing healing virtue throughout this building. Lord, touching and ministering. I rebuke all pain. I rebuke all back issues. Lord, I take authority and dominion over respiratory illness, over cancer, over any tumors that may be there, over any kind of infection or disease, or whether small, large, it's all the same to You. It's just as easy for You to heal a little headache and to heal cancer. Lord, we trust You. We believe You and Your ability, Your power. Thank You. You are Jehovah Rapha. You are the Lord, our healer. And now I want you to say, thank You, Jesus, for my healing. in your wonderful name. I receive in your name. Amen. Would you give the Lord a clap and thank him? Praise God. Praise God. Now, if any of you had pain or you had something that you know right now that it's already gone, and you know, would you just lift your hand up? I'm not going to take time to get a lot of testimonies on them. CH, praise God. Anybody else? Anybody else? Praise God, Shay. Wonderful. Praise God. All right, I'm going to tell you guys again just what I said that night. Continue to trust. Continue to believe. And look for the evidence of it. Seen this happen again and again in people's life. The majority of people that I have seen healed in services, it happened after that service. And so be encouraged. Trust and believe. And don't give up. Don't give up believing. Continue to believe because he is the Lord who heals us. Amen? Okay, next week we're going to talk about God's protection. It's part of the package. Bless you guys. Good night.
Thank you for listening to the New Life Kingman podcast. We can't wait to see you next week.